morning again. If you have your Bibles, please go ahead and be turning to Luke chapter 2. I want to, again, extend my appreciation for y'all having me here this morning. It's always a privilege to be able to come share a message from God's Word with other folks. This morning we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And as we all know, around this time of year, there are a lot of people who are thinking about the birth of Jesus. And while the Bible does not teach that Jesus was born on December 25th, I think it's still a good time to talk about Jesus, since he is the main focus for many people this time of year. So this morning, by way of introduction, I simply want to look at this passage and I want to point out some words of interest to help us better visualize what's taking place. And I want to do so by looking at some of the Greek words, because at least in my mind it helps paint a much brighter picture of what the goings on are and what is taking place. And then I want to point out two words that are found at the end of this passage, and those words are peace and goodwill. And I want to ask the question, what do these words mean exactly as they are found within this context? Because in my estimation, a lot of people, especially this time of year, view these two words a lot differently than what they're used. So, without further delay, let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now first of all, the Bible says that the shepherds were in the fields at night. Now, nighttime in Jesus' day is a lot different than nighttime in our day. There are no security lights. There are no street lights. There's not a glow in the sky from a neighboring town or city. It's very dark. The only light that may be there would be the moonlight or the light of the stars. And that's obviously if it's a clear night. And then Luke goes on to say, and behold. Now, we read right over that word behold, but it stands out in my mind because the Greek word eido, it means to perceive, particularly perceive with the mind or to pay attention. Luke says, y'all listen, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. He says, an angel, which is a messenger of the Lord, stood before them. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. The King James says the angel came upon them, and the English Standard Version says the angel appeared to them. Now, the Greek word here means appeared, but all of a sudden, or out of nowhere. So the angel appeared out of nowhere, and the glory of God shone around them. Now, the word shown here is only found one other time in the New Testament, and that is in Acts chapter 26, verse 13, when Paul is recalling his experience on the road to Damascus, and where the bright light shined from heaven, blinding Paul. So that's what the shepherds see here. And it says, so summarize real quickly, the shepherds are in the field at night, it's very dark, and all of a sudden this angel appears out of nowhere, and there's a very bright light. And it says they were greatly afraid. Now this also interests me because the word afraid in Greek is phobiomai. Phobiomai. It sounds like our English word, phobia. And phobia is a fear of something. And a lot of people who have a phobia, one or two things are going to happen. They're either going to stand there and they can't move because they're so scared, or they're going to run away as fast as they can. And the Greek word phobiomai means to put to flight by terrifying or to scare away. So fearful scared to death is what this says. And then the angel said to them, do Do not be afraid. For behold, y'all listen to what I'm about to tell you. I bring to you good tidings, great joy. Now, good tidings, euangelizo, means to announce. That word is also translated in our New Testaments and other places as good news. We know good news as to be the gospel. So the angel brings good news of great joy, which will be to all people. And here's the message. For everyone to you, the Savior, who is Christ, Lord. The angel brings good news to Jesus. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly, unexpectedly out of nowhere, there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. This word multitude means a mass or large. It means to fill to the overflow. So picture in my mind is the sky is filled with a multitude of heavenly hosts. They're with the angel. And they say, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, or an on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So, here we have the angels at night. It's dark. This angel comes and appears out of nowhere with the bright light of God shining on them, and it scares them half to death. And he said, don't be afraid. What I bring is good news. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Now, verse 14 is where I want to camp out, so to speak, for a little while this morning. This verse is quoted a lot during the holiday season. And, you know, this is the time of year where everybody's getting together, everybody's happy and getting along for the most part, and we're just enjoying all the things that comes with the holidays. And it's a time where everything seems to be peaceful and kind. But what does peace and goodwill actually mean here in verse 14? Does it actually mean the same thing? So I want to look at these words in their Greek form a little bit more deeper and see if we can arrive at a good answer. Now, there are actually several different meanings of the Greek word eirene, which is translated peace. Now we're going to look at six of them. The first three are this: a state of natural tranquility, which will be an exemption from the rage and havoc of war. Number two, peace between individuals. Number three, security, safety, and prosperity. Now, when I read these first definitions, I kind of scratch my head. Because if you think about it, during this time, it was anything but peaceful. If we look back in history, we can recall the wars that had been fought between the Jews and the Gentile nations. We can recall how that the Jews were held in captivity by an Egyptian pharaoh, and then later Assyrian and Babylonian kings. And then our text this morning, they're under control of the Roman Empire. And in Judea, there was a king of the Jews who had been appointed by the Romans, by a Roman Senate. Okay, and we can read about King Herod in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, King Herod, he valued his rule and his control very much. So when he heard that a king of the Jews had been born, that concerned him. Because in Herod's mind, a new king being born meant that he was going to be on his way out. So he decided to take action and sent out the wise men to find Jesus so that he might worship. But then we read further in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, we find out that the real reason that Herod sought out Jesus was not to worship him, but to destroy him. And then when the wise men did not report back to Herod, he decided that he would have all the male children, 2 years of age and younger, killed. Because Herod wanted to make sure that the right child had been taken. So he had them all murdered. Now, I don't know about you, but that does not sound very peaceful. From the time that Jesus was born until the time that he died, there were people who wanted him eliminated. In John chapter 5, verse 18, we can read about how the Jews wanted to kill Jesus for supposedly breaking the Sabbath and calling himself the Son of God. And then in John chapter 11, verse 53, we can read about how the chief priests and the Pharisees were making plans to kill Jesus because he performed miracles. And those are just two of many that we can find in the Bible that talk about how people wanted so desperately to kill Jesus. Again, not very peaceful. And, you know, Jesus himself actually says that the reason for his coming was not to bring peace, as it's generally thought of. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Now what Jesus is saying here is that the things that he taught and the things that he commanded would not sit well with everyone. It would cause division between family members and households, and it would cause arguments and disagreements between individuals. So Jesus says that his word brings separation. Not peace as in it's generally thought of by most people. And while we pray for peace in the sense of national tranquility, countries coming together and getting along, and while we pray that everyone can come to agreements with one another, and you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that at all. In fact, we should pray and we should want for those things. But I'm not convinced that that's what the word peace means here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. So hold that thought just for a minute, and let's consider the meaning of the word eudaimonia, which is goodwill. Now this word has three meanings, and we're going to look at two of them. And it actually means just what you would expect goodwill to mean. It means goodwill, kindly intent, benevolence. And the second meaning, delight, pleasure, satisfaction. But now I'm sort of scratching my head again. Because how can there be goodwill toward men when there's so much division and bloodshed that's going on? Well, let's go back to the last few meanings of the Greek word eirene, peace, and see if we can grasp an understanding. Meaning number four, of the Messiah's peace. The sub-point definition under that is a way that leads to peace, in parentheses, salvation. Now, Jesus said in another passage, John 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, how can Jesus talk about leaving peace here in John when over in Matthew he says that he didn't come to bring peace but a sword that would cause division? Well, being that Jesus was perfect, he's not contradicting himself. But I would say that it's all about the context in which we read these words in which they're spoken. Jesus said, "I give you my peace. Not peace as the world sees, as in a tranquil state between nations, not as in peace as where everybody is happy and everybody's getting along with one another. That's not what it means at all. The peace that Jesus offers is on a completely different level. And it's obtained only through Him. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus said, "You may have peace in me." The peace that is obtained from Jesus is the safety and security of salvation that is found in Jesus. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into grace which we have. And rejoice in the glory of God." 6. "For we were still in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us, and that while we still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified, we are saved from wrath through Him." Now, when I read that wrath in tonight, it refers to the anger and wrath of God. It reminds me of one of the first meanings that we read about the word peace just a few moments ago. And it was the exemption from rage or wrath and having a war. I can have peace with God and be exempt or saved from the anger of God because of Jesus. Now, irene, peace, is starting to make a little bit more sense to me. Romans chapter 5 and verses 10 and 11, they go on to say, "For if we were enemies, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, or brought near, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So this brings us to the fifth meaning of the word irene, peace. And that is to set at one again. You see, sin separates us from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. And when man is separated from God, that makes him an enemy of God. Therefore, if a man is enemies with God, he is subject to the wrath and the anger of God. But Jesus came and died for man so that we could be saved from God's wrath and bring us closer to God. Bring us close to God. Jesus set man back at square one with God and gave him a second chance. Through Jesus, we have been brought close to God instead of being separated. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Paul says, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." So we have been brought close to God by the blood of Jesus. And for that reason, there has been peace, a established between man and between God. And then that brings us to our final meaning of the word irene, peace, as found in our New Testament. The last meaning is, of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Jesus, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Please turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. When Paul wrote the Philippian letter, he was a prisoner of war. A prisoner of Rome. And during this time, Christians were being persecuted. They were being thrown into prison. They were being beaten. They were being murdered. And the list goes on, all for the cause of Jesus. But again, doesn't sound very peaceful. And yet in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul writes about peace. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul's saying, during terrible times, be joyful. Don't worry about the things that are happening, these things that are not very peaceful, but pray. If you talk to God about the things that you suffer and put your faith in Him, guess what? You'll have peace. Psalm chapter 56, verses 9 through 11, say this: "When I cry out to you, my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise His word. In the Lord, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" When I know that I have been saved by God through His Son, Jesus, I don't have to be afraid because of the peace that I have that rises and exceeds above everything else in this life. The reason for the birth of Jesus was to bring peace. Not peace as the world sees it, but peace between God and humanity. And that's what peace and goodwill mean here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. So like the shepherds in the field that night, the world is a dark and scary place. But it doesn't have to be like that. For behold, are y'all listening? Pay attention. The great joy and the good tidings, the good news of Jesus, the gospel, it's still in effect today just as it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus was born. Jesus also died on a cruel cross for our sins. And He was buried, and He was resurrected on the third day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 through 4. And He did that so that I could be brought near to God, to be reconciled to Him, and to be at peace with Him. Isn't that good news? Amen? Amen. So how can I do it? How can I reach the blood of Jesus through which I can be brought close to God and have salvation? Well, by being obedient to the gospel, by being buried with Jesus in baptism for the forgiveness of sin, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and then living a faithful life afterward. So I want to ask a question this morning. Have you been obedient to the gospel by being baptized? If not, then we want you to do so this morning. It's the only way that the peace and the goodwill of God can be reached. Or maybe you have been obedient to the gospel this morning to Jesus, and you have been baptized for the forgiveness of sin, but maybe you're at a point in your life where maybe sin has drawn you away and you don't feel the peace between yourself and God that maybe was once there. If that's the case, well, we want you to come back to God so that peace can be restored. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song in front of you.